Transportation in the USA. You know what they say, what doesn't kill you. Also, I have discovered a new fabulous pastime, proof that American movies today are kind of crappy. And P. Diddy, sex trafficking, and abusing kids all in one fell swoop.
Uncensored, unfiltered, unhinged. It's the Carell Cast. Listen daily on your favorite streaming service.
It is the Carell Cast. I am Carell. So very glad I can be here with you, and so very glad you are joining me. We've got a lot to talk about today, from Truth Social being worth $9 billion. Figure that one out. To something more fun, by the way, and going to be very audience participation, I hope, that you will comment down below on a fun topic. And then, of course, we're going to talk about kids and why historically we have always abused them, including the new story out about P. Diddy and sex trafficking and, you know, R. Kelly and the underage girls and Jeffrey Epstein and, you know, all of it. We're going to talk about that today. But before I get there, I have to tell you, I have been living in constant terror because of medical anxiety since I got the Shingrix vaccine March 5th. And on March 6th, I contracted shingles, which turned into meningitis, which has turned into neuropathy. And we're not sure if I'm going to get or already have Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is a very serious neurological disorder that you mostly recover from, mostly. And yesterday, I spent all day almost crying at some points because my fingers tingled. And that's a sign of GBS, and my feet tingle, but that could also be neuropathy. And so I don't have the weakness that's associated with GBS, where I can still lift my legs and you know, lift my arms. So they're just not sure. And they keep telling me if I have breathing issues, go into the ER, which I don't want to do. But one thing that I did want to say to you about all of this, well, there's a bunch of stuff. I mean, did you know the vaccine industry is now a $120 billion a year industry, that Moderna is actually putting out three new vaccines now, one for norovirus, the one that makes y'all get your stomach and intestines going, one for elevated Epstein-Barr, and they're going to be doing a shingles vaccine as well. And they're doing it because the vaccine business is $120 billion, and I am not anti-vax. I know I'm sounding like it a lot these days, but I'm not. I mean, some of you need the vaccines that are out there, and kids certainly do. But I have to tell you, when anything becomes a business, I knew when they mentioned with COVID about how it was affecting the economy, I knew that we were lost. Because the minute anything becomes about dollars and cents, you and me, we stop mattering. You know, the money matters. And vaccines are huge, huge business. And I'm not sure they need to be. First of all, they should be not for profit. No company should make a fortune off a vaccine. Second of all, I'm just not sure we need all the vaccines they're now going to be throwing at us, to where you'll be taking, you know, 5 or 10 vaccines a year, because side effects are real. And these drug companies make these vaccines that are, quote, mostly safe. Okay? Now, I've had probably 30 or 40 vaccines in my life, never had a reaction until I did. And my life has been horrible for the last 3 weeks and 2 days. Hospital stays, not knowing if I was going to take a turn for the worse and have to be on a ventilator. Ember and her care, having to have those talks with friends if I died. These have been real conversations going on in my life. I've been terrified. There's no shame in that. I'm terrified today, but I'm not letting it. You know, I'm strong. I'm standing here. I can move my arms. Yes, it hurts like hell here and here and here and I'm tingly. And yeah, but you know what? I did my walk. I did a little bit of yoga. I'm here. But the one thing that has given me strength, that has made me feel better, is you. All of you. All of you. I mean, I just had someone today offer to pay my medical bills. I can't let them. That's too much help. But so many of you have sent your love, your kindness, your understanding, your outrage. You have opened your hearts and let me know that I matter to you and that you don't want me to go away. That, you know, somehow my achievements and what I've done and what I continue to do for liberals or the gay community or for whatever, somehow you have let me know that that matters to you. And you've taken the time out of your day to post comments on the videos of support and of love. Many of you have donated. You know, it makes me overwhelmed. It does. Because I felt very alone through all of this. You know, Steve has been there when he could. Ember's been there 24/7. And that's made me sad because I thought, God, when she dies. I mean, this dog rides motorcycles, was with me in the hospital, helped me make my move to Las Vegas when I was all alone in this city. I'm sorry, I'm emotional today. I don't know if it's the meds or if it's the viral infections or what it is. I don't know. I just know that yesterday I got a new Patreon subscriber for $4.99 and I thought, wow. You know, I know it's just one, but I thought, wow, that person named David really cares about the show enough to give $5 a month. I don't take that for granted. And all of you, Rachel, all of you, Meredith, there's so many of you who have opened your hearts to me, PK, sending me emails, Sid Castro, so many of you who have shown your heart and shown me that you care. So I don't feel like doing a show today. I didn't feel like doing one Monday. I probably won't feel like doing one Friday, but I'm doing them for you because you care and because you would miss me if I weren't here. I would actually be missed. And I'll leave that there. I'll get to the topics, but I can't thank you guys enough. It's pretty scary not knowing if you're going to wake up with a new symptom or get an illness that could put you in the ER and put you on a ventilator. And I'm still in that window. 42 days from the shot is how long I have for the GBS to see if that appears. It's going to be a long, long way to April 18th. Anyway, so did you hear the one about the ship that ran into the bridge? I'm not going to debate all of it. But I am going to say this. I heard on ABC News this morning from an expert that this didn't have to happen. That there are ways to protect our bridges from ships running into them. But it's costly. It's expensive. And therefore, most of our bridges don't have the protections they need from large ships because it's expensive. And I thought of transportation in the USA right now. Boeing planes literally falling out of the sky, doors falling off, wings, engines. I don't want to fly, do you? Most planes are Boeing. Do you want to get on a Boeing plane? I don't. And then I thought about driving. You know, almost 40,000 people a year. Beautiful, wonderful people. Well, some might be assholes, but you know what I mean. Are killed every year just because they want to get from point A to point B. And now you have bridges collapsing because a boat bumps into them. And it really states that the state of transportation in the USA is bad. And I like Pete Buttigieg. I do. Our roads are not modern. Our bridges will fall down if hit. You know, people are like, well, you could never build a bridge that could withstand. Yes, you can. If you can't, then you shouldn't have a bridge. Either you build a bridge that can withstand a hit from a boat, or you don't let boats go by bridges. Because human life ultimately is more important than commerce. Human life is the most important thing. We only get one. People died in that bridge collapse. People that had plans. People that had a life. People that had worries. People that had families. And granted, there was only a few, I think 6 or 8. But so what? Every human matters. We don't know what those people would have contributed in the future. All we know is they're gone. Why? Because some container ship lost power. in a 30-foot channel. You know, why wasn't it just being pulled out there? Why don't they pull them? You know, there's so much I could say about it. But the point is, the price to get from point A to point B in America shouldn't be death. It's like vaccines. We have this acceptable loss in our head. Like, oh, well, you know, if 100 million people take the vaccine and only, you know, 3,000 die. What if that's you or someone you love? You wouldn't be so. And oh, yeah, 40,000 people die on the roads each year. But, you know, it's pretty safe. And no, cars could be made so you do not die in a crash. It would just be too expensive. And I have guest after guest who's come on the show to say that very thing. Most cars would survive car wrecks if they were made with more, you know, accoutrement to do so. But instead, they make the car the cheapest they can and sell it at the biggest price, and you can die in it. But we accept that because, oh, I got to get somewhere. Transportation is literally killing us to the tune of probably 50 or 60,000 people a year, and we just accept it. It's like the risk of all the drugs you see on TV and the side effects that you hear. We just accept it. Well, if I want the Renuzit or if I want the Wegovy, you know, now there's this Ozempic face that's doing something to people's faces. They don't care. They'll be thin. So we have this weird scale where we weigh the pros and the cons. And if the pros outweigh the cons, then we just go with it. But what if they don't? What if the cons are more serious than we're really giving them credence? You know, I don't like the fact that here in Vegas, there's crashes everywhere and that it's so dangerous to drive. We need to be in walkable cities. We need better public transportation. You know, how many people died on a bus last year in bus crashes? Not many. How many people died in public transportation crashes last year? Not many. You know, how many train derailments have there been in the U.S. this last year? I don't think any. We need better ways to get from point A to point B because the cost of transportation shouldn't be your death or the death of the planet. And all transportation has done is ruin our planet and kill us. That's all it's done. And allow disease to spread all over the world. Think about mass transportation and mass transit and what it's done to the planet. Yes, it's made us able to move goods and services faster, but at what cost? We need more local things. We don't need all this transportation. It's just, it's killing the planet and it's killing us. I hate bridges myself. I hate them. On the motorcycle, I'm always terrified when I go over bridges. I am. I'm just, even not on the motorcycle. Ever since I was a kid, I hate bridges. I don't like them. They seem unnatural to me. You're over a body of water and you're like, oh. And it was man-made by the cheapest, you know, cheapest bidder. So yeah. And then this morning I awake to, you know, Donald Trump might be worth $3 billion because of True Social. True Social only made, I think it was $8 million in advertising last year and lost $49 million or $490 million. It lost a lot of money. So how it's worth all this money is because of meme trading. All these people that love Trump drove up the price of the stock. In 6 months, I doubt the stock will be worth $66 a share for a social media company that not only no one uses, but is losing money. But that just shows you how people are coddling this man. They know if they invest in it, it went public. They know if they invest in it, that he gets money. And so people who have never bought a stock in their life are rushing out to buy stock in True Social. That frenzy will fade. But will he sell his stock beforehand? He's supposed to hold it for 6 months, but the board might vote to let him do it sooner. Oh, what a life, right? When we come back, a fun topic. We're going to end with a fun topic. And also, we're going to talk about P. Diddy in the news. And really, something I mentioned to my friend Hannah yesterday about kids and sex trafficking and young adults and 16-year-olds and all of that. It's kind of sad, actually, what we allow. And have always. And so we're going to talk about that. Don't forget,
hey,
I love you.
Here, and I'd like to take a moment to thank all the patrons at Patreon. Your support means the absolute world to me and the show. If you'd like to show your support for the crazy endeavors of the Carell cast, then please go to patreon.com/reallycarell. That's patreon.com/reallycarell. And please help get those numbers up by subscribing to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/reallycarell. There's so much great free content there, it's like having a network on your TV, phone, or tablet. All social media is Really Carell, including Threads and Instagram. And don't forget the website that's had it all along, reallycarell.com. Without your support, the show simply doesn't work. So please listen on all streaming services, watch and subscribe on YouTube, and support the show through Patreon at patreon.com/reallycarell. Thanks for almost 30 years of support to the loudest, craziest, most unhinged gay guy and his little dog. And let's keep the party going as long as we can.
Alrighty-dighty. So, Sean P. Diddy Combs had his homes in L.A. and Miami raided. There have been allegations of sexual misconduct and all kinds of trafficking, you know, violations that he has pled, you know, not guilty to or said he is not guilty of. And they say he is fully cooperating, etc. But a lot of people talking about it. Same with R. Kelly, who, of course, you know, was trafficking young girls. Then we have an allegation that Charlie Sheen raped Corey Haim 30 years ago or sexually assaulted him. I don't know if it's rape. I believe it's sexual misconduct. And I was talking about this with my friend Hannah, and I said to her, you know, we have always abused children. There has never not been a time in our history where people with power did not abuse children. And I mean anyone under 18. Okay. Now, be it sexually, historically, teens, young girls, young maidens, I mean, maiden, hello, it means virgin, you know, have been abused, bartered, sold, married off at 12 or 14. Go back in history and they've had arranged marriages and, you know, where a 13-year-old is married to a 70-year-old. We have used kids for coal mines because they were small. We still have used kids right today in 2024. Meat packing places have been busted for using teenagers and 15-year-olds, 14-year-olds in horrifying conditions. Sexual offenses against kids are on the rise. And, you know, if you look at our history, we have never really protected children. In fact, culturally, as humans, we have often exploited the children, used them for manual labor, used them for all kinds of things, used them as currency, used them as, and this is going on today. This is not just ancient history. We have destroyed the planet so that children, young people now, 15 and 20 years old, are going to have a completely different world, meaning the actual world, the actual planet. We abuse them food-wise. We don't parent them anymore. We let them put whatever they want in their mouth. They're fat. They're depressed in record numbers. That's abuse. You know, we have a generation of depressed kids. We have Gen Xers raising kids, and they're not raising them. They're letting their phones raise them. They're letting TV or YouTube raise them. That's not loving and helping children. We have parents who have been more concerned about being their friends and having a beige nursery so they could pick their own pronouns when they grow up. They're more concerned with that than actually being their parent. Because half the kids today, honey, I'd smack upside their little smug heads and take their phones right away from them, and that'd be that. They wouldn't go online until they're over 18. And I mean it. But more importantly, we have always abused them as a species. There have always been sections of our society that molest them, marry them. I mean, the age of consent in many states in the United States is 14 or 16. That's not abuse. The hell a 14-year-old know about consent? Although, child, if you saw what I was doing at 14, ooh, make your hair curl. In fact, I had curly hair. A Barbra Streisand perm. So I grow weary of everything being for the children, because today nothing is for the children. We don't ban social media. If you really want to save children, ban social media. Half the time they meet their abusers on social media. You know, Florida might be bat crap crazy and Ron DeSantis is out of his fucking mind, but I believe it was Florida that just passed a law, it'll be challenged, that says that kids can't have social media accounts until they're 14 years old. I'm kind of all for that. I don't think a 13-year-old or a 12-year-old or a 10-year-old should be on X or Twitter or Instagram or TikTok. They have no business being on there at that age. They should be learning. But we don't really care for the kids. We don't. We talk a good game, but if we really cared, what about the border? There are so many children that come to the border and Republicans treat them just horribly. Put them in cages at some point. This notion, you know, I see why people don't want to have children. They're exploited, they're used, they're abused, and their future is pretty bleak because of what Gen X and Gen Y and Gen Alpha now, which are people born in 2000 and beyond, because they're not good at it. And we have done nothing in thousands of years to make sure that kids are truly safe in their own homes, or that they are truly safe because of online. Because if the kid's online at home, then they're not at home. They're out in the world, in the ether. So when I hear about P. Diddy and sex trafficking, and when I hear about underage girls and Jeffrey Epstein, and I hear about, you know, Corey Haim and Charlie Sheen and all that, you know, there's this whole documentary on Netflix right now about Nickelodeon. I'm going to talk to my friend Mark Summers about coming on. He's in the documentary. He's not accused of anything, and his show was not accused of anything. But he was commenting on the atmosphere at Nickelodeon. Kids have always been abused in Hollywood. Shirley Temple was hugely abused. They used to dig those curls into her scalp, you know, with hairpins and make her bleed. God knows what they did to Judy Garland. They turned her into an addict. They fed her drugs, wouldn't let her celebrate her birthday on her actual birthday because of filming schedules. Look at Brooke Shields. Just watch the documentary, Pretty Baby. At 12 years old, she was allowed to be naked in a movie. She did Blue Lagoon at 15 years old. I mean, what Hollywood did to her was wrong. And it was abuse. But it was done in the name of money or entertainment. So we have always, always abused children, even in ways that we don't think of as abuse, like destroying the planet and their diets. It's abusive to give a kid meat and dairy. They shouldn't have it. It's toxic. It's poison. It leads to obesity, all kinds of illnesses. I used to think it was an abuse to make your kid vegan, but I was wrong. It's the actual opposite of that. You should raise your kids vegan, and then once they're old enough, let them decide if they want to eat meat and dairy. Religion. We indoctrinate them into cults at like 7 or 8 years old. Little Christian children, little Jewish children, little Catholic children, and the Catholic Church. We've let kids be raped by the Catholic Church for hundreds of years. We have allowed it. Even in this country, it's still going on. The Catholic Church should be shut down and thrown out. They're the largest child rape ring in the world. The Boy Scouts. We knew it was happening. We just looked the other way. So when I hear all these stories, oh, Nickelodeon this, P. Diddy that, I just think, well, it's par for the course because we have never truly protected children. All right, on to something more fun. Today, this morning, when I woke up, Apple suggested a 70s movie playlist. I said, okay, I love the 70s and 80s and movies. So let me hear it. And oh my God, such great songs started to play. The theme from Jaws. Ba-dun. That can still strike terror into people. Ba-dun, ba-dun. Star Wars. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Rocky, flying high now. Of course, Grease. You better shape up. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And I thought to myself, first of all, we don't have a lot of great movie songs on streaming or on the radio nowadays. We, in fact, all the songs that win for best song from a motion picture these days, they're kind of crappy. I like Billie Eilish, you know, "What Was I Made For?" But it's no "Last Dance" by Donna Summer. You know, when you listen to all the, "There's Got to Be a Morning After," "One Tin Soldier Rides Away," "Go Ahead and Hate Your Neighbor." That's from The Legend of Billy Jack. "The Way We Were." Where just her humming. And you immediately know the song. You know the movie. And I miss that in today's films. Fabulous scores. Fabulous songs. That becomes popular because they're so damn good. You can't hear that Rocky theme and not want to be running up a staircase, flying high now, you know? Even TV, they got rid of theme songs on TV because of timing. Today's generation, they ain't got no "Beans Don't Burn in the Kitchen, Fish Don't Fry on the Grill, Ha! Took a Whole Lot of Trying Just to Get Up That Hill." Oh, yes, girl. "Good times anytime you make a payment. Ain't we lucky?" And then there's Maude. I could sing them all. So I thought I would ask you, what are some of your favorite movie songs? Songs from movies. My God, Barbara's got so many. Ooh. Evergreen won an Oscar. I mean, we had some great music in movies in the 70s and 80s. Just great music in movies. And nowadays, what? Am I missing something? If you can think of a really great score or song from a movie in today, other than "I'm Just Ken," whatever. If you can, I mean, a really great one in where the 70s was 50 years ago. And there are songs on that 70s playlist from 50 years ago that are still so freaking incredible. Valley of the Dolls. "Where do I go? Where?" I mean, you know these songs. You know them. "Why are there so many songs about rainbows? What's on the other side?" Oh, I saw that movie with my mom like 4 times in one day. She loved The Rainbow Connection. Oh, "Some say love, it is a river." Bette Midler, "The Rose." My God, I fell in love with her at that very moment. So what movie songs do you just love? And can you think of any from today's movies that are just as good? I'd love to... You put the comments down below, email me, or I love that you all are commenting now. That's making the algorithm pick me up more. It's making the videos, and you can share the videos too. Share those videos on your social media. YouTube.com/ReallyCorel. Of course, there's also video every show at Patreon, patreon.com/ReallyCorel. Thank you for your support, patrons. If you're not a patron, become one. So what songs, "Once in Your Life, You Find Her." Theme from Arthur, Christopher Cross. "Sailing." Liza Minnelli, "New York, New York." It was her song first, by the way, before Frank Sinatra got it. Liza, "New York, New York, New York." Oh, Liza. "Cabaret." "What good is sitting alone in your room?" Or "Maybe This Time" from Cabaret. "Maybe this time I'll get lucky." Oh, my. So what song from what movie do you love? Put it down below. I am Carell. You be who you want to be. Song doesn't hurt anybody. And we'll try to be here Friday if I ain't in the hospital. And I don't feel like I'm going to the hospital. I think I'm going to not have GBS. Or if I do, maybe it'll be mild. In the meantime, I love all of you so much. I'm not going to cry again. Not going to cry again. But I really do.
Broadcasting from a completely different point of view. Yours. Listen daily to the Carellcast on your favorite streaming service.